we welcome to the program a veteran of over 30 years in the emergency room. My goodness, Dr. Gene Conte joins us. Dr. Conte, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rich. Sounds like you've had some really heavy hitters on. I don't know if I'll ever get up to that caliber, but thank you for having me on.
Well, we're very excited to have you here with us. So why do people lie to their doctor, the person who's there to help them live a longer, healthier life?
Well, there's any number of reasons. Emergency room is a little different than the private doctor's office, and, you know, of course, the private doctor gets to know them over time very well and very intimately. And emergency room runs a little different than the private doctor's office. And it's kind of interesting the type of people we get in. I'm sure everybody's kind of familiar with, we get a lot of people coming in with the proverbial, I've had two beers, you know. Of course, the level comes back 400. And, of course, the police always get a charge out of that when they bring those type in. And the nurses usually get the first crack at them.
Right.
Usually you'll get the nurse coming back and says, I just woke up, you know, patient in, you know, room 20 and see how they were doing. They were sound asleep, snoring. As soon as I woke them up, they wanted pain meds. As you know, we're going through a big challenge here in the country. And so they just shut them down. You know, we have some really good nurses, and they can be firm with some of the patients.
So the most common lie then is not something along the lines of, I have no idea how that got in there.
Well, we've had a few of those, and yeah, that's usually the excuse. I don't know what happened, you know. And I had one that was, I was listening with my stethoscope, and I'm like, ooh. And, of course, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I was like, I don't know. One of those. It gets interesting. I had one time, was a young girl, and she was, you know, thin, and she was lying on her side with just a sheet over her, and the complaint from the triage nurse was, you know, abdominal pain. So, all right, okay. So I said, you know, would you please roll over on your back so I can examine your stomach? So she rolls over on her back, you know, and you can see the outline, you know, neck, breasts, you know, stomach, and it's like 10 months. And I'm looking at her, and so I pull the sheet down. I look at her, and the mother's like right in front of me, 2 feet away. And I go, "Oh, she's pregnant." Mother looks at me. No, she's not.
No, oh, boy.
And all of a sudden, I can smell the water broke. So I stick my head out of the room. I go, "I need a nurse like now," you know. So I throw the mother out of the room. You know, 2 minutes later, the kid comes flying out. You know, and they're just, you know, just totally oblivious sometimes of things. I was one of ER worked in. We were lucky enough to have a big, huge window, and you can actually see the patients walking in from the parking lot. And every once in a while, you'd have a patient, you know, just jaunting, you know, into the from the parking lot into triage. And as soon as they hit the triage desk, you know, they're bent over, or, you know, screaming and yelling or whatever. And, you know, of course, we know that they're faking. They're lying to us. I had one guy one time, we were busy as all get out. He was sitting on the edge of the gurney, and he was watching the circus go on. He was looking back and forth and up and down and up and down and up and down, left and right. And finally, it was his turn. I had grabbed the chart and looking at, you know, had, because you study the patient, you're actually doing a partial physical by watching people. Mm. And his complaint was he was in a motor vehicle accident, and he couldn't move his neck.
Wow.
And also, he said he had severely injured his shoulder. So when I got to him, I said, you know, how's your neck doing? He sits up straight, you know, I can't move my neck. Meanwhile, you know, for the past 15, 20 minutes, he'd been looking up and down, you know, seeing how everything was going on. I said, by the way, can you show me exactly on your neck where it's bothering you? He lifts the arm that he was complaining about the shoulder hurting very easily without any problem.
Now, obviously, there are some that that advertise their lie, but are there some other tells that an experienced hand like yourself can pick up along the way?
Yeah, some of it is some of it is more subtle. the nurses also get a kick out of. They're brought in on a stretcher. Usually the EMTs are laughing, and they're lying there, and they've been watching too much TV because they're faking unconsciousness as their eyelids flutter. And well, I'll give a giveaway on this. Usually what we'll do is we'll just pick up their arm and hold it over their face, drop it. Well, if a person's truly unconscious, the hand will hit their face. If they're faking, of course, they'll make sure the hand doesn't hit their face. It's interesting. I had one that was in a minor motor vehicle accident. I mean, one of these little parking lot, you know, scrapes, not even a fender bender. And, I mean, they're looking for green poultice. You know, you can almost see them calling their attorney. She came in, you know, so I'm saying, okay, how you doing? She goes, I can't move my legs. I'm paralyzed from the waist down. I said, all right, okay, you know. So let's check things out, you know. So I said, don't let me raise your leg. Well, she was going to make sure that I didn't raise her leg, and she tightened those muscles down. I mean, you could not believe it. Of course, you know, when you paralyze, you have flaccid paralysis. You know, it should be like a rubber dummy. She just locked those legs down. So I called one of the nurses over and said, watch this. I said, okay, you know, let's have you sit up, you know, because she could sit up, but she claimed she couldn't move her legs, you know. So I swung her legs around, and she kept them straight out.
Wow.
The nurse just burst out laughing. I mean, some of these people, it becomes hilarious. It just, it's like a three-ring circus. I think some of the patients, you know, come in just to watch the circus, not to actually be treated.
We're talking to Dr. Gene Conte here on Downtown. So I have to ask, because we all sort of suspect this, those of us in the patient world, is there some sort of either nonverbal or shorthand communication that doctors and nurses and staff have to let each other know that, hey, this particular patient is trying to pull a fast one here?
Generally, when the patient's not looking, I can just look at the nurse, or the nurse is looking at me, and just by eyeballs, you know, a lot of times we're communicating with one another. But most of the time, it's verbal communication. So when the patient comes in, hits triage, so the triage nurse is taking a history, and then the patient's passed off to the nurse that's going to be taking care of them. So that's the second time that the patient's getting interviewed, and then, of course, then the doctor comes in, and that's a third interview. And what happened, a lot of times the patients don't understand, well, I already gave this history like three or four times. But what they don't understand is we're checking their story. Because a lot of times if they lie, the story keeps changing.
Right, right.
And they don't realize what's going on. But that's one of our ways of checking the patient's story. Because sometimes it does continue to change. And it's amazing, you know, how... And we document that, you know, like a patient claims they fell off Empire State Building but was walking around the, you know, waiting area or whatever.
Hi, this is Bruce Pratt. My son is a firefighter paramedic and often is in the emergency room. He always says to me, he thinks that emergency room doctors are the absolute best at split decisions of anybody he knows. He says, we can just wheel the person in. They look up at the doctor and the doctor sort of gives me an eyeball like, okay, I see what's going on here. Is that a skill you have to develop as an emergency doctor?
Actually, most decisions do not have to be split second. There's very, very few emergencies. One actually is one that the EMTs have to deal with, and that's low blood sugar. It's kind of like a car running out of gas. And if your car runs out of gas, you don't start it. If the body runs out of glucose, sugar, you die. And the EMTs are the ones that usually pick up on that first because they're the ones that pick up the patients. And, of course, they'll give them, like, what we call D50W, which is a high concentration of glucose. Mm-hmm. And they're the real lifesavers. That is really something that's split-second life or death. And I really credit a lot of the EMTs with that. We had one EMT group come in one time. They were just howling. And I said, you know, like, what's going on? They said, well... the family was criticizing us because we weren't doing CPR the way some TV show does it.
Yeah. And they don't know that it's changed the way we do that at all. Yeah.
Like, I mean, one of the things that I get such a charge out of, and I don't like watching doctor shows on TV, is they still we haven't used paddles in probably about 8 or 10 years.
Right.
And they always use paddles because it's more dramatic.
Right.
But we don't use paddles anymore.
All right, so what's the most bizarre story, concoction that someone has told you walking into the emergency department?
We got a call once from EMT, you know, saying that they were bringing a guy with a gunshot wound to the head. And okay, you know, so we all get prepared, you know, the nursing staff, you know, is okay, major trauma, you know, gunshot wound to the head. So the EMTs and the police are escorting this guy in, walking him into the emergency room. I go, is this the patient? They said, yeah. I said, how do you feel? He goes, fine. So I said, where were you shot? Points to the side of his head. There's an entrance wound. I look on the other side, and there's an exit wound. I said, oh, that's nice. So we do an x-ray, and, it, of course, the head is completely normal. What happened is it was a low-caliber bullet. He tried to commit suicide. He put the gun at a very acute angle. So it went under the skin, over the cranium, and came out the other side.
Wow.
So I put two, you know, bandages on, and that was it.
Wow. That's when you begin to reevaluate your life choices,
yeah,
I think.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I had one guy commit suicide. He put a rifle under his chin, and he pulled the trigger. And they brought him in. And it was interesting because he's lying there. He goes, how are you doing? He goes, fine. And he wanted to commit suicide, obviously. And I said, how do you feel? He goes, strange. I don't want to commit suicide anymore. He basically did a frontal lobotomy on himself.
Oh, man.
Yeah, wow. It was really interesting. It missed every major vessel and nerve. The guy had full neurologic, everything was neurologically intact. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. That is incredible. Well, I have to think, too, you and I've got a couple of friends who have worked in the emergency room. You have to have a sense of humor because while there are these moments that make you laugh, you're also dealing with some incredibly traumatic situations. And I can't imagine being able to do it for very long if you can't find the humor in those other situations.
Yeah, yeah. The, you know, the funny ones kind of balance the serious stuff. And as you said, you have to find the humor in the funny stuff. And of course, you know, the serious stuff we have to deal with. Probably the hardest thing for any doctor or nurse to deal with or EMT is, you know, babies, children. It's just the absolute toughest thing to deal with. And unfortunately, you know, we have to keep moving. So, you know, whereas if it's a school situation, everybody's off for a week and, you know, has, you know, psychiatric counseling for 3 months and this and that, but we have to keep moving. I mean, during that trauma and if there's anything else going on, we have to keep working. It's just somebody doesn't come in and say, okay, you know, you can all sit down. We're going to have a group therapy. So
right.
We have to keep going.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate.
And we have the toughest nurses. I'm telling you, I've always said you can take an ER nurse and put her anywhere else in the hospital, but you can't take a nurse anywhere else in the hospital and necessarily put her in the ER.
That's for sure. Well, we certainly appreciate the work you and the people around you do, and we're so glad you came on to share some great stories with us. Dr. Gene Conti, thanks so much for being with us, and I will stick to my story. I only had two drinks this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you again. Dr. Gene Conti with us here on Downtown.